And so we come now to our sermon. Let's begin with a prayer. Dear Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On Friday, we left the scene of the crucifixion with some of the women who knew Jesus personally coming close to the cross. And later, as the day drew to a close, Joseph of Arimathea, a friend and follower, petitioned the courts so he could take the remains to a nearby tomb and lay Jesus to rest. In a rare act of compassion, this was allowed, and the basic burial needs of the time were done. And now, 3 days later, after the Passover feast had ended and the Sabbath was over, Mary and Mary are on their way to the tomb. And if you read other accounts of this first Easter morning, you will find out what their purpose was in going to that place at the earliest opportunity. It was a simple one. They wanted to prepare Jesus' body for burial. It didn't matter that Joseph's servants had already done it. They wanted to do it now, personally. There seems to have been this inexplicable need just to be near Jesus. Even in death, they could not leave him. Was it just part of the grief process? Or was there something else pulling on their inner core, dragging them out of bed at that unearthly hour, quietly under the radar of prying eyes? I wonder if they'd considered how to get into the tomb. Those practical details were not recorded here, and no wonder. For when they arrived, their expectations of what they were going to be doing were shattered. The scene was one of turbulent earth movements and fear. Guards poleaxed on the ground, frozen, looking like they had expired. And the tomb open, empty, and guarded not by men, but an angel who was telling them not to be afraid. What was happening? 3 days before, there had been trauma and it was excruciating. Now, a fresh encounter with heaven and earth was heralding something new. Yes, these women were afraid. Matthew's account of the meeting reveals that. But they were also filled with joy. For as they stood and listened, this messenger from God shared the most exhilarating news. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now the women are moving, no longer hurrying with grief, but now in this energized action. There's still fear coursing through their veins, for these are dangerous times, but now they have a new purpose. Some good news to share. Jesus is resurrected. And then they stumble upon a person who just says, "Greetings." And at that simple hello, a gush of adoration, worship and gratitude pours out. The Marys prostrate themselves on the floor before him and grab hold of his feet, just to touch him, just to be as close as they can be. Overwhelmed with happiness at what they are seeing. For they are witnessing firsthand the completion of the purpose of the cross. in that one word, things change. Things will no longer be as they were before. What was changes to what will be moving forward. Jesus has transcended death. He has done something no human can ever do. This is good news indeed. For what was feared need no longer be so. This encounter with the risen Christ proves that. As the women encounter Jesus in this Easter way, their faith in him becomes more than just a physical dependence. Now it is sealed with a divine revelation, an understanding which clarifies all that Jesus said before. For he did say he would rise again. But they didn't get the how of it until now. They are actually seeing it for themselves. They have touched him, breathed the same air as him. Wow. His giving up of his spirit on the cross worked. It made a way from darkness to light, from death to new life. When you encounter Jesus, when you come close to the divine, it is scary. But it fills one with joy, energises and activates you into wanting to share and proclaim out loud, Jesus is alive! For he is a tangible presence, revealed to us today in the witness statements of these words from Matthew's Gospel. Death was not the end, as they and perhaps we had expected it to be. Something new is happening here. Jesus cannot be just a teacher or a prophet or a healer. When he gave up his spirit and shouted, "It is finished," 3 days before on the hillside called Golgotha, he was not talking about his dying. He was talking about his task on earth. It had finished. It was done. What was done? The way for God's people to come back to the Father had been made possible. Out there on the cross. In this brief encounter, the Marys understood the enormity of what had happened, that they had been rescued forever, redeemed. That's what Good Friday was all about. All our debts have been paid in full, and at the dawn of this first Easter day, it is confirmed with the empty tomb and alive Jesus before them, showing them it was so. An encounter with Jesus brings about hope and new life. It draws us away from the darkest things of life that separate us from tangibly feeling his love and moves us on to a place that sees us recognising it, hearing it and accepting it as true. And it's the same good news coming from Jesus' personal command to go and tell that motivates Peter and the others as they tell this same story several years later to Cornelius and his family in the ancient port town of Caesarea. For the point of Jesus' death on the cross, which literally tore the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem from top to toe, symbolically showing that Jesus had made a way for all to come close to God, was literally for all. This message of hope and renewed relationship with God was not particular, but for everyone. And in Acts 10, Peter seeks to make this clear. Reread verses 34 to 35. God shows no favouritism. Followers of Jesus can come, they do come from all nations. Why? Because God created all nations, all people. And it's the disciples' heartfelt desire to share their joy, their passion and their faith by witnessing to all they have seen and experienced of the love of God in and through their relationship with Christ, both pre and post the Easter event. For it is unique, it is glorious, amazing, and reflects completely the character of God. And most importantly, it is true. One apologist for Christ puts it like this: no other religious leader has died in full view of trained executioners, had a guarded tomb, and then rose 3 days later to appear to many people. The resurrection is proof of who Jesus is and that he did accomplish what he set out to do: provide the only means of redemption for mankind. And on this glorious new day, the 12th of April 2020, I want us all to now draw close to the empty tomb. Take a peek inside. See that it is indeed empty. And then turn and encounter the risen Lord. For God longs for his people to be with him and experience that same joy which made the Marys hurry and declare to their friends and family, "He's alive! Alleluia! Jesus is risen!" Knowing it to be true, tangible, and within your grasp. For Jesus did all of that for you. Amen. And so now let us stand, if you'd like to, as we say together the words of the Creed. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the disciples. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. If you've been standing, would you like to now sit down?